You just keep showing up and eventually your belief in self will grow.
Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, Addicted to Health. My name is Emily E, and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness, nutrition, and business, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to reach your breakthrough in life. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
Claire Bays helps people take back their health. She is a fitness coach who is also located here in Austin, Texas, which she calls the wellness capital of the South. She founded Wellness with Claire, her online coaching platform, where she coaches group and one-on-one settings. She focuses on ultra-optimized wellness that's sustainable, enjoyable, and focuses on habits that will transform your life. Claire is a sober alcoholic and content creator who can be found many times at fitness competitions and races. Her motto is change your habits, change your life. Today, we will discuss how to take back your health through all things wellness, Instagram fitness versus reality, how to develop a healthy relationship with fitness and food, becoming sober, how to keep showing up, how to curb snacking, I need help on that, discovering an outlet in fitness, post-workout repairs, and becoming 1% better every day. Claire, welcome.
Let's freaking go.
I'm so excited. You're like my curly hair girl over here.
I feel like energy wise, you actually, when we very first met, someone had told you that we were similar, right?
I forgot who it was. And she was like, you haven't met Claire. You have to meet Claire. You guys have like top notch energy. We're both like have an energy drink in us without having an energy drink in us, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That reminds me. So this is, I'll just go straight there. But my grandmother was like the most profound impact in my childhood, right? And her nickname was the Energizer Bunny.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And so I have always like, that's kind of my life today is very devoted towards like, if I can strive to be like her, that's the goal, right? So when you say that, an energy drink without one, I'm like, yeah, that checks.
That is so funny. I think it's hilarious because I've had so many times where I've taught like 6 a.m. group classes, for example, and I'm not a morning person. I try to be, some days I am, but I'm really a night person, little night owl. And it's funny though, because when I show up in the mornings, people ask me how I have so much energy and I don't, without coffee, without an energy drink. It's so funny. What do you think gives you energy? Because I think it comes so naturally, right? We don't really think about it. How do you show up and bring out this authentic energy to other people?
Ooh, I don't know. You know, I will say, obviously, it's very, very obvious if you meet me. I'm extroverted, right? So I'm just naturally an extrovert. I really thrive in social environments. That being said, I really enjoy going and being in solitude as well. And I like to spend time inside my own brain, which if we go back to that alcoholism bit, there were many years where that wasn't the case. But so I do kind of do some recharge alone, but people really energize me. So I just kind of feed off of the energy in the room. And then like, it's like a rocket. So it can be obnoxious. It can be too much, you know, mm-hmm. for certain individuals. And I totally understand. But I think that part of that is, I don't know, inherent. I mean, definitely. I think if we were to make it less glamorous, there's the reality that like from a very young age, it was always a desire to be loved and a desire to be seen. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe where it stemmed from. So even still, although there's maybe more awareness around that today, there's still this, you show up in the room and you want to be loved and you want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably baked in there somewhere too.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Have you ever felt like you have this amazing abundance of energy? Have you ever felt like your cup is not filled because you're giving so much of your amazing energy to other people?
Oh, you always. So I like that. What I like to think about. So the word balance, right? So balancing is a verb. And so I like to think about that in life, right? Like we're just out here just balancing. So if we're thinking about the cup full, empty, whatever, absolutely. Like there are times in which, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel most fulfilled when I can show up and be of service in some way. And so just to do that to the best of our ability. But yeah, can there be times when you have gone far beyond the boundaries you should have had and you're absolutely showing up as the worst version of yourself? Yes. Have I done that? Absolutely. Will I realistically do that again in the future? Also, yes. But trying to have some boundaries in place that look like, you know, falling in line with my circadian rhythm today and, you know, just all these different, you kind of create some like, oh, okay, man, if I'll adhere to this, I'll show up better. And if I'll not do that, then, well, you don't know what you're gonna get. So yeah, it's a verb.
It's a verb. It's a verb. Well, you have contagious energy, and I'm
so do you.
So happy we're here. It's meant to be. Yeah. It's happening.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to, I feel like, get to know you more today, because I'm excited to hang out this weekend and actually get to know you on another level. But I've always, you know, I followed you on Instagram for so long, and not only is your energy contagious through the screen, but you also talk about so many amazing things in fitness and nutrition and mindset. And I know you're super into CrossFit. Mm-hmm. I want to know, I just got back from the CrossFit Games, mm-hmm. and it was so cool. I mean, these athletes are competing to become the fittest on earth. Mm-hmm. It's insane, and their mindset's insane. How has CrossFit and lifting heavy weights transformed your mindset in the gym, and how has that translated to how you live your life outside of the gym?
Foundational is the term that comes to mind for me. So one, this is the first year that I missed the games in a couple few years, and it was I was like very, very bittersweet to not be there. Oh my gosh. And those are my people. I love you all. I am so proud of you. I'm amazed by you. So what is CrossFit done? So although today I definitely do a variety of different things that would not be identified as CrossFit, but I still also do CrossFit and have a lot of love for it. So for me, with my journey with fitness, it looked like I didn't play any sports growing up. I didn't even get into a gym till I was in my 20s. And where I was in Oklahoma, and where I lived, there was a CrossFit gym that was kind of where people went. And so I had a coworker that he went there. So I went with him a little bit. And this was when I was like brand new to going to a gym. Everything was overwhelming. Everything was terrifying. And I went for no time at all and was like, I can't do this. And I went back to a little Gold's Express, and I went there for a few years, and then I came back. And so, then I spent the next 6.5 years at that facility. And so when I showed up, I didn't know anything about energy systems, movement mechanics, you name it, nothing. I mean, I'm just, everything's terrifying, but I like you people, and this is really cool, and this is what everybody else is doing, you know? And so I stuck around, and if you stick around for long enough, you'll get better, you know? And so trust me, I say all the time, I wish that my early day coaches could like, and I mean, I need to get clips of them saying things actually, because they like to this day, they remember the clothing that I would wear. They remember like the dorky version of me that would show up and how terribly I would move. Like they were like, Claire, you were so bad. And I'm like, I know, but I wanted it, you know? And that was kind of just this theme of, you see people who have a quality of life that's better than yours. And even if you can't really articulate it or understand it, that was what drew me there, is they're living a better quality of life than the one that I have. So I want what they have, and I don't know how to get there, but showing up here and hanging out with them seems like a reasonable place to start. And so it was many years of me showing up and doing everything wrong. And, you know, I would say at about year four was whenever I finally switched. The right person said the right thing to me about, hey, you always say you can't get any stronger, you're not good at this, you won't whatever, you know, what if you actually stopped saying that to yourself and actually really applied yourself here. And so I changed a couple of habits and changed that inner dialogue at that time to like, why not you? Why can't you be good at this? And then my fitness within that space within the next 12 months elevated significantly, because I finally stopped telling myself I just always told myself, you'll never be RX, you know, as prescribed. You'll never be that athlete. You'll never do a muscle up. You'll never do, you know, whatever the fancy things is that they do. And I say they because now it's we. But anyway, you just keep showing up and eventually your belief in self will grow, you know? And so that's what happened for me. And so it was foundational because now I can go into any sort of fitness race or competition or whatever, at whatever gym. And like, I'm, because of the groundwork that was done for so many years in that realm, I've learned so much. And through the education that's been offered to me through their training, and I've certainly got a lot of other education today, but that was the foundation. Mm. And I have abundant gratitude for it because now I will show up and I am not scared. And like, if you'd have told, I mean, I was like shaking in my boots to do anything, you know, like even the simplest workout, like a hero workout alone would just be, I remember, you know, years of Murph on Memorial Day and oh my gosh, and some scaled version of it. I'll never be able to do that. How, you know, just anxiety out. And then like to today, you know, it's just a check the box. It's just a do the thing. Your baseline shifts.
What's a hero workout again?
A hero workout. Oh, I love it. A hero workout is just simply
getting into the CrossFit world.
Murph is probably like the best known one, which is why I'm referencing it, because it's like a lot of people not in that world also still do that workout. And let me be clear, that workout done as prescribed is a behemoth and most people should scale it because it's a ridiculous amount of volume.
Oh, I've done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough. And so, you know, having a coach that can help you scale to an appropriate level of fitness for you is probably pretty important, according to me. Anyway, a hero workout is just simply one that's like it's named after an individual. So like it's got a name for a reason is what they would identify. So a lot of them are like, you know, military and different mm-hmm. things like that that they're named after. But there's yeah. So that's what a hero workout is.
It's so cool. You went from 0 to 100 and then now you're like, let's lift heavy, you know, yeah. You're like, let's go heavy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of wild because even when I got started too, and I started lifting weights, I felt stronger. Like I felt more confident outside of the gym. And when I would go through really hard times, it's just, I would get my outlet out by lifting. Mm-hmm. It's just the coolest feeling. And I think that if people are going through anything in their lives, like lift, like go pick up some weight and like go punch, do whatever you gotta do in the gym. But have you felt that in the gym before where you're lifting and you're just like, I am in my zone. I'm getting something out right now.
Absolutely. Like physical fitness is a great outlet. I jokingly call my barbell my therapist, literally. So yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your ability to like, there's something about the, and then we can even, you know, I'm going back to community because I think it's such an important part of this whole fitness thing is you can get involved in gyms and facilities that have community. And I think that's so important to be able to like learn from other individuals, to work with coaches, et cetera. But as far as the like physical fitness thing goes, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love that phrase, like prove yourself right, you know, mm-hmm. of like your... Someone who's willing to show up and work hard in there, like I trust you because you're willing to work hard kind of thing, you know, and the idea, this is one that's kind of been rolling around for me, but you know, walking in a room and having a fancy watch or a nice handbag, like that's cool. And that's cool. But like you walk in the room and your physique is in check. And like you have our attention, you have commanded our respect. And so what a cool thing to work for, because there's no other way to get that but hard work. And mm-hmm. so, but as far as yes, the actual like picking up weights and things, we can go into certainly the reality that we know a lot of information today about the like resistance training mm-hmm. for vitality, longevity, health is incredibly important. And also for all of these people out here who want to gain lean mass, get more jacked or get leaner, lose fat mass, even the most lean people ever, I think they identify as still wanting to do those two things. So that like pretty much covers the basis for morbid obesity to like, I don't know, shredded. We all want to do that thing. And like, in order to change body composition in that direction, the most bang for your buck comes from resistance training, lifting heavy shit, progressive overload, you know? So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons to love to do it.
So much.
And yeah, and you have to start somewhere. Like that's the thing is like, you're going to start really uncomfortable, feeling like you have no idea what you're doing. And
falling at the gym. Do you know how many times I've fallen at the gym? Even now, yeah, I've fallen at the gym.
You just like trip over stuff.
Even tripping, I've fallen off of a Stairmaster. One time I was like, when I was getting started, I was I was going to do hip thrust, dropping weights left and right. And I'm like, did anyone see that? No one's looking. No one cares. But like in my head, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
And you got, it's kind of funny. Like I just start laughing at myself and things like that still happen to me today because it's funny and you're always going to be failing and growing.
Yeah. I fell off a box yesterday.
Yeah. We love it.
What's so great is that I was in the middle of my workout and I couldn't even be bothered. So I just literally kept doing it and I have no, but I love that because also when you start going like for a newer person, or maybe you've been gone for a while and you're coming back, you know, let's remember that humans are naturally incredibly selfish. And so they are truly thinking about themselves. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about you. Mm-hmm. And so then it kind of gives you this like space to breathe a little bit. And like, even if you're moving funky, like I will tell you without a shadow of a doubt, as someone who's been in the gym for over a decade now and is considered a fitness professional, that the person in the room that's the most scared to be there, that maybe has poor movement patterns, maybe has a lot of weight to lose, whatever, you're the most inspiring person there to me. You belong there more than anybody else. And I am not kidding when I say that you may look at me today and think that's intimidating, but I'm telling you, I couldn't admire you more. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm so grateful that you're there. And if you talk to more people like you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
100%.
Absolutely. So just giving space to the, like, you know, it's you're there and you're trying and that's worth a heck of a lot.
Let's take a shot. No, not that kind of shot. Magic mind, baby. It is so hard for me to focus. I feel like my mind is always in so many different places. I discovered Magic Mind and I am a changed woman. It is the world's first productivity shot. I'm not kidding you. I become more focused by taking this shot in the morning. It's my new secret weapon to becoming laser focused, having more energy, mental clarity, and becoming more productive. I'm now able to have my full-time job and side hustles without having such insane stress and distractions. Magic Mind has so many natural, incredible properties inside of this shot, like organic matcha to boost your energy, antioxidants, vitamin C, lion's mane mushroom to reduce anxiety, immune system boosters, and so many more to help enhance you as a whole. Also, a lot of those shots to help you with your immunity or focus don't taste very good. They are no bueno, but Magic Mind not only tastes so good, but actually works, especially coming from someone who is a squirrel like me. Trust me, try Magic Mind. I only talk about brands that I truly believe in, and now I'm able to become my best self, get more things done, and conquer all there is to do in life.
Go to magicmind.com/fitfood. Get up to 50% off your subscription for the next 10 days with my code FITFOOD20. That's all caps, FITFOOD20. I can't wait till you try it. I also want to talk about the stigma around lifting weights and women. Mm-hmm. I know so many times, I'm sure you're like, I know what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. So many times women, they think by lifting heavy, they're going to get really bulky. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
Concise, easy. Yeah. Me, concise. That was a joke. Yeah, so good luck. Like, try to get jacked. Like go and lift as heavy as you can as frequent. Well, actually, I mean, you should have rest days as well. But like, lift as heavy as you can as consistently as you can and like try to get too big. And if you figure out how to get too big, like, please send me a DM.
Like, let me know.
Let me know. Let me know. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, we have, you know, the information is always changing, right? And like, we're always learning more and more, but we have a significant amount of evidence today that proves that, like, there's so much benefit to be gained. And also, you know, a lot of women say, well, I want this lean body, you know, like, I want to be, and I totally get it. Like, who doesn't want to, you know, great. Guess what? Or I want an hourglass shape. Girl, do some lat pull downs and watch that like upper back grow, which makes your little waist look even littler. You know, like there's so much vitality benefit to it of like physiologically, like for us to age well, it's incredibly important. But then if we're just looking at like, we just want to look good and we're afraid that lifting heavy weights is going to make us like look a certain way. These things take time, and by time I mean many years. And so my challenge to you, if you are fearful, is to go ahead, give it a whirl, see how you feel, and know that in order for you to get quote unquote too big, you're really probably going to have to work at that for a very, very, very long time, and you're probably never going to arrive there. At least in my experience, I lift heavy all the time, and I'm 5'7", 150 pounds, and I mean, I don't know. I don't look that big.
You look amazing.
I mean, it's just, and I like work really hard at it, you know, so use that as an example. I also don't intake anything other than, you know, I eat, and maybe we can talk about diet stuff, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times I think people probably get, you know, stigma, fearful, whatever, because they see things online that they see women are jacked, right?
Right.
And like, yet again, just try.
Just try, yeah.
Just try. And
go lift something heavy.
Yeah, yeah, because there's always variables with those individuals that you don't know about.
Right.
Yeah.
What are your splits?
Workout?
Workout splits.
Yeah. So currently what I do is, because I like to be ready for anything. But I also,
like, put me in, coach. Oh, High Rocks tomorrow? Ready. Yeah,
literally. That's like,
train,
I want to.
Train for life?
Yes.
Ready.
So I work with 5-11 Tactical a little bit, and I couldn't adore the people behind the brand and the products more. And their slogan is always be ready. And I'm like, vibe with that. Ooh. Vibe with that. Anyway, so yes, my training has that in mind. So what my primary focus today is, I actually am working on putting some mass on my legs. So I'm trying to grow bigger quads, the front muscles of my thighs. I'm trying to grow bigger glutes. Everybody knows what that is. That's my butt. And so I'm trying to expand my hips. And this all stemmed because I started to work with clients that had these goals. And so because I worked with clients that had these goals, it was like, well, what better way than to just make myself a guinea pig of this project? So it's been fun. So I actually have aesthetic goals, physique aesthetic goals, for the first time in many years. And I'm excited because today it comes from a place of not inadequacy, but a let's see, this is a fun experiment. Whereas if you had asked me 10 years ago, it would have been a different conversation and it would have been because I felt inadequate, you know? Mm. So I'm grateful that today it just comes from a just like, this is just a fun experiment. Let's see. So because of that detail, Mondays and Fridays for me are dedicated to lower body lifting sessions. And so 45 minutes to an hour of lifting heavy things. From there, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday looks like a variety, and Saturday looks like some fun stuff, right? So it varies. Right now I'm in the swing of keeping my Olympic weightlifting sort of polished because it's so fun to do. And so I'll work on that on Wednesdays is kind of a common theme, which what that means is that there's a lot of rest in there and it's actually a very kind of low key session. And then usually Tuesdays and Saturdays is where I'll do my CrossFit. Mm. Or maybe it's Thursday, Saturday. And this does vary. Monday, Friday are my two set hard things. But outside of that, I'll do one upper body session at some point where I'm pulling intentionally. So I'm working on my posterior chain, on my back, on my shoulders, things like that. Because our posterior chains are just typically weak. And so strengthening those is going to help with posture and spine stuff. So it's just really good to focus on that. So I try to make sure and get a session in with some emphasis on that at least once a week. And then the rest of it's just like for fun. I want to upkeep athleticism. I want to do a couple of sessions a week where I do intentionally work on my aerobic capacity because keeping that up is important. But really, I mean, that's where I'm at today.
I love that you said the word fun.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Like, I have trained clients before where they're like, please don't make me do this. And I'm like, I will challenge you and I will make you do some things that you don't want to do. That being said, it should be fun. Like, I'm always doing something different. And that's why fitness should be fun. And that's how you learn to fall in love with it. So I love that you kept saying fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And there's so many different flavors of it. I think that's one of the best things. Yeah. That's why I say
chocolate,
about
vanilla.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Yeah. That's like the fun thing about Austin, I feel, is I go to a few different facilities a week.
Because
I
just gym hoppers.
Yeah. I'm total gym hopper. And I'm just like, well, it's just different flavors of fitness. You know, and it's just fun. But that can feel overwhelming. Yet again, I don't know who we're talking to here. But if we're speaking to someone a little bit earlier in their journey or a little bit more intimidated, then just know, like, you know, going to the same place and just doing the same splits, like, there's 100%. That's totally cool. But yeah, I keep some diversity in there because I really do. I have that CrossFit base, right? So I want to upkeep certain skills and so on because they're fun to upkeep. But because my goals are today gain strength, I really have to prioritize those sessions. But yes, fitness should be fun, and movement is medicine, you know? And so a lot of clients I work with today, they go potentially for months with their only homework every day is to walk. And I will say on Sunday, so Sunday's my active recovery day, and I banish myself to walking.
I banish myself.
All I'm allowed to do on Sundays is walk. And then I do have at least one other day in there where, like, it's super chill.
I know. I have to, like, it's really hard to have a recovery day. I'm like, you have to do a recovery today. I know it's hard.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You should make fitness so much fun and something you always look forward to, that recovery days should be hard for you.
Yeah.
That's the goal, baby.
Yeah. No, and it's a great place to be. And then it's interesting. Like that's, you know, we humans are like, we really thrive when we're working. Like we do, you know, we love routine. We do. Mm-hmm. Even if we feel sometimes like we don't, we thrive in it. And we also are like, if we work hard, like we feel good, you know? So recovery days are like my hardest day, mm-hmm. because I have to force myself to then chill out.
Yeah.
And then also, so then it's like, okay, what are you doing on that day? Are you doom scrolling and binge watching? Because those are not things that actually create peace for you. So then should you instead maybe get outside of these four walls and go for a walk, call somebody, ask them mm-hmm. how they're doing, play with a puzzle, something else. But recovery days are important.
Play with a puzzle. You're so funny. You mentioned posture.
Yes.
What are some top exercises that anyone can do or learn to do and progress in to enhance your posture?
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say that for anybody who isn't following, like would love some, you know, pointers. There's the pain-free performance mm-hmm. certification is one that I had the opportunity to take, I guess, was that last year? Maybe earlier this year. Either way, excellent information in that. And so I'm going to direct you to them and the doctors of physical therapy that I learned this from. Go to them. But what they have taught me is about the importance and emphasis on posterior chain mm-hmm. and just how we generally live in this forward-facing, forward motion world. And so we generally have weak posterior chains. So if I'm looking at priority for a client, I'm looking at the back of their body, which means the back of their shoulders. It means their lats, those big muscles that are like the wings in their back, their erectors all the way down their spine. We're looking at their glutes. Glutes are really important. We're going down to their hamstrings all the way to their calves, right? We're just covering the back. So some like specific things that I would be doing is anything that's going to pull my shoulders back is going to be great, right? And so like rear delt flies or mm-hmm. anything, you know, doing like banded face pulls, anything that's going to pull that stuff back is great. And then from there, just pulling in general. So even a lat pull down, although the prescription that I've been taught is like a 2-to-1 ratio of like a pull, like a row versus a lat pull down. Mm-hmm. So where you're pulling directly from in front of you versus over your head, mm-hmm. like a 2-to-1 ratio there. So anyway, rowing is going to be excellent for strengthening your back. So row your little heart out. And then we move on down, and hip thrust is certainly like bang for your buck on strengthening your glutes, which strengthening our glutes is just like, aside from who doesn't want a perky booty, it's also really, really, really important for our health. And so that's a movement that I would encourage everyone to do. And then for hamstrings, RDL would be the most effective one, in my opinion.
Cause all you're not, it's all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And RDL just is a great way to be able to target your hamstrings specifically. Mm-hmm, so those would be like my top favorites according to just me.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I'm certified in Les Mills Body Pump.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had a pretty good posture because I grew up doing dancing and doing ballet. Mm-hmm. But the second I didn't dance as much, I lost that beautiful ballet posture.
Yeah.
And the second I started to actually teach body pump and focus a lot on my upper body strength, I remember coming home and like my family would even notice, they're like, your posture. And it was really cool because I didn't even realize it. And I was like, oh yeah. But I was doing like what you're saying, a lot of lat pull downs, a lot of flies. And it's just, it really does open up your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then you become, it almost becomes just of nature to walk like that. So I agree. There's so many more benefits that we can go on and on forever about weightlifting and doing all the things that we just mentioned.
Yeah, it's just so cool. And then, I mean, if you look at the fact that most people have some spine problems,
right,
then the idea that you could do anything that could kind of alleviate some of that would be like really worthwhile, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about routine and nutrition. I just got back from, I feel like I was on a world tour. Okay. I was in LA. Then I was at a bachelorette party in Lake Tahoe. And then I was just at the CrossFit Games. I had some travel chronicles. I was in Wisconsin. Then I was in Chicago. And I'm finally back in Austin. I'm so happy to be home. I can't even tell you. But I'm not going to lie. Like, even me being fitness guru, super into nutrition, I had a really hard time staying on track. Because yep. A lot of times you're going out to dinner. I'm a really big routine person. And when I'm home, I feel great. And when I travel, I sometimes just feel very off. Mm-hmm. I'd love to learn some tips that you have for staying on track, because I think a lot of times I even get anxious. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go away. I'm going to get off routine. Mm-hmm. What are some of your tips to making you stay on track and helping your clients to do so as well?
Yeah, I love the question. And also then I just, while you were saying your travel, I'm like, Emily worldwide. I'm grateful that you're home.
Hey, Mrs. Worldwide over here.
There we go. I'm not a singer. I wasn't going to put anyone through mine because you would all hate me. Okay, so travel nutrition. I have done it wrong every way that you could possibly do it wrong. And then I've learned some things along the way. So I think that giving space to the reality that I don't have all of the answers, okay, but that there are some things that I do that I quite enjoy. So we'll just kind of walk into what that looks like, because I've certainly spent as much as last year. I was on the road for 6 months straight. So, and what's interesting there is during that time, I tracked my macros every day. And I'm not saying everybody needs to do that, but I got really lean and I really dialed in some nutrition things. And it was like, you can do all of this while you travel. So, but then from there, I've even learned since then. So anyway, what comes to mind for me with travel nutrition is, one, generally I find for myself that less processed, nutrient dense is always the move, right? And so as close to the source as possible. I'm a big meat and fruit girl. That seems to work really, really well for me. And so I focus heavily on those as best as possible. So some fun things about that is, like, I literally will travel with a Tupperware of meat in my carry-on and couldn't be bothered. I'll travel with bananas in my carry-on and couldn't be bothered. And I don't, so check with your own whatever, but I don't have any issue getting that stuff through. Haven't yet, thank goodness. And
sneaking
so
through TSA.
So the travel day, because like the travel day, if you're in airports all day, like it's like, ugh, what am I gonna do? Like, hopefully there's somewhere decent that I can eat, or I'm just gonna go into one of the million little corner stores and all there are is like protein bars and I can't read any of the ingredients and it's just a fiber log and whatever, right? Like, you're just like, I am at a loss. Yeah. It's hard. And so then if you know that those are things you could potentially do, is go ahead and bring those items with you. Boom, stress alleviated. So those are my current go-tos, is I'm just looking. And so say that I don't bring them with me, then what am I doing when I get into wherever I'm going? Cause I didn't pack them and whatever the case may be. Then like, I'm looking for where has meat and where has fruit. And if it's fruit cups, that's fine. I'll buy four, whatever. But you know, those are things that like I feel satiated from. And I think that's one of the big things about the travel nutrition bit is like, if I eat a protein bar, for me personally, now there are some that I like better than others, but if I eat a protein bar, I don't feel satiated. And if anything, I just want four more of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, nah, that didn't do shit for me. Even if it technically had some nutritional value according to, you know, the nutrition facts, whatever, like, I'm not satisfied. I just want more. And now all of a sudden my digestive system is dealing with all this stuff that I couldn't even read. Like, so for me, what I would like to do is go straight to as much whole food as possible. And so that's where I'm looking when I'm traveling. And then when I arrive somewhere, Whole Foods is the first stop. Like, either have it delivered to wherever you're going to stay. That's one thing you can do while you're on your way there, is like place an order. And so maybe it's not Whole Foods, maybe it's something else, Sprouts, right, whatever they have locally. But to me, I want to handle that first. So I want to go ahead and go get some food on hand so that I'm not winding up in these spots where I'm like, I don't have anything on hand, I am hangry, whatever, you know, I'll just resort to anything. So setting yourself up for success early.
I think that's so key, because I've had days before where I go into it blindly and I'm set up for failure. But just like what you said, set yourself up like the night before, the morning of, this is kind of an idea of what I'm going to eat today, or I'm traveling all day, like, let's prepare for this. I think that is the foundation to being successful within that routine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, there are regularly times when I travel where, like, so whatever I'm going to do that day, like, I'll just wake up early enough. Now I am an early riser and I'm an early to bed kind of girly, which pre-sobriety, Claire, not true. Anyway, so I'll get up before, like, whatever time that I need to be at whatever location, right? I'm going to make sure that I'm awake early enough that if I need to, if I don't already have it in my hotel room where there's a mini fridge, whatever, say there's not one and I don't have that, whatever, then I will go to a Whole Foods or something like that before the day. I'll get everything I need for that day, throw it in my bag and move along with my day. Like, I'll do it early enough. And then this can feel overwhelming. A lot of like habit shift stuff can feel really overwhelming. And so what I also love to remind everyone is, like, one of the pro tips today that has just changed the game for me is like this true one day at a time concept of like, I don't have to have, so say I'm going to be gone for 7 days or for 14 days and I'm going to be in 14 different locations. I don't know, make it as bizarre as you want. And instead of thinking about how I'm logistically going to deal with all of those other days, what I'm instead going to do is just look at the night before, look at the following day, what is my agenda, where am I, what do I have access to, and then plan for the following day and the following day only. And then at the end of that following day, I'll just do the same thing. But I don't have to think about all those other days yet. I just need to plan for the next 24 hours. And for me, that creates a lot of peace and ability to execute.
What about snacking?
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of like, if you're hungry, you should eat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. And this is all just my opinion. I am not a registered dietitian. I am a certified nutrition coach. And on my app, we do have registered dietitians, just so you know. But I am not one. So I want to like make sure that I'm really clear there. But so as far as snacking goes, you know, I'm a big fan of if I'm hungry, I should eat something. So if I'm just bored snacking now, if I'm just looking to satisfy a craving or an I'm uncomfortable and this is a habit I've had for decades, because that's more what I look to with snacking behavior is maybe it's late at night and I'm by myself now and that's going to be the opportune time for me to really just do whatever I did for so many years. And so I think that knowledge is empowering. So knowing that a craving lasts about 7 minutes. So if I know that, then I know, okay, so I've finished the food that I've intended to eat, right? And now I'm just doing this little thing that like, but I could get more and that would feel good for now, but it's not really heading in the direction of my goals. Then if I know that I got about a 7 minute window there, I've got some options. And so for me, a common one is to pick up a physical book and read it or just distract myself in another way. I can get on a call, but I know me and I know if I get on the phone, I'm going to be on there for a long time. So I have to take that into consideration. But yeah, real phone talk. So anyway, I mean, just knowledge. If I know that, you know, another great one that I certainly work with a lot of clients on is like when they experience that craving is to then, okay, all I'm going to do is go literally walk 2 blocks, you know? So maybe like make the barrier of entry so low that you'll walk through the door. Mm-hmm. And so if it is, I'm experiencing a craving, I just have this like snacking habit that I just want to eat something, even though I don't really need anything, I'm not actually hungry. Then what if you do just commit to walk out the door, walk a whopping 2 blocks and walk back, and odds are it will have dissipated significantly. And that's not to say another one won't crop up later and you'll have to deal with that then, but these are things that are helpful to me. And so yeah, I mean, so much of snacking. And then I mean, other than that, like if you're actually hungry, eat, right? And then
listen to your body, but yeah, also create a little bit of a barrier there when it's just mindless.
Yeah, well, and within my home, like I don't have protein cookies because I'll eat 14 of them, right, you know? Right. So I just like don't have them. I'm not saying they're bad, but either way, the craving thing for me personally, in my experience, really kind of spirals at that point, right? And so like if I have berries and bananas and meat and vegetables, like I'm only going to slam so many bananas before I'm over it, right? And by that, I mean literally one. Like maybe 1.5, I got real crazy. Like I'm just, it's not, I don't experience this same erratic behavior with it for me. And so that's kind of the ways that I work around that is just like what I have access to is nutrient dense, less processed. And as a result, my behavior with it is a lot more peaceful. And so, yeah, that's just kind of been my journey with it.
I've had so many times in my life where I get anxious around food, and I know all the habits. Like I know to create the barrier. I know to go on a walk. I know to read. But in that specific moment,
yep,
my mind is like, no, I need to crunch on something. I need food. I need to take this anxiety away.
Yeah.
So in that moment, how do I escape that and bring myself to presence and give myself those 7 minutes of room to create a barrier with food and say, is this mindless or mindful eating?
Yeah. Well, one, I think that your vulnerability to be honest about that is really powerful because like being able to like, so I just want to give space to that because it's not like not everybody else is dealing with it, you know? And to be honest, like I have times in my life where, I mean, gosh, I've had bulimia, binge eating disorder. I mean, I've dealt with it, right? My weight fluctuated significantly for years. And it's always a journey. I'm amazed by the peaceful space I seem to exist in today, which is very exciting. So there are a couple of thoughts that I have is like, one, you know, if you just want to crunch on something or whatever, like why can't you crunch on carrots? Why can't you crunch on celery? Why can't you find certain things that you like do enjoy that are like low caloric bang for your buck? You know, getting frozen berries is an inexpensive berry route. If you want something sweet, and a lot of people will like get frozen berries and then pull some. Yeah. And like, and then they'll microwave them, kind of make them mushy, whatever. If you want something sweet, you could throw stevia on it, you know, whatever. So those are some ways in which you can still satisfy the desire to like eat something, but not have like thrown yourself off of your goals.
Like you can either, even if you're going to have those binge moments or anxiety moments with food, set yourself up for success through it with like, all right, if that's going to happen, like go munch on something, maybe a little bit healthier if you can.
To the best of your ability, and give yourself space and grace to be human, and know that perfection is not required for you to be the version of yourself that you want to be, you know? Like we're never going to be perfect. It's not real. And so give yourself that. And then, I mean, things like that are helpful to me today. And then outside of that, I do also, when it like, when it comes to, because for me, it was always the late night thing, right? And so maybe it's not late night, I don't know. But I think about the pros and cons. And like, so if a con to me going and binging on a bunch of sugar stuff, whatever, because that's typically what it would look like for me, is carbohydrate, sugar, heavy. Then I know that I'm going to, like, it's really going to, because if we eat a bunch of that stuff within a couple of hours of bedtime, typically that really messes with our sleep cycles, and it causes our metabolism to just have to work really hard, and it just really causes our rest or our sleep to be significantly less restful. So for me, that awareness, yet again, oh, you know, if I do that thing, I'm going to pay for it and I'm going to get less quality sleep. So it's something that motivates me to some degree. If I do that, I'll wake up more puffy. Like I will literally be inflamed the next day. Also a thing I don't enjoy.
You think about the repercussions.
I think about the repercussions. It's like, does that do the cons way more than the pros? You know, if I go and binge out on whatever it is, then like, is that going to, you know, and so much of it too is literally the conversation in my head. You know, it's like, if I do that, then I feel defeated. And then it's this, like, I wake up the next morning, I'm like, well, you didn't hold to your promise to yourself. So good job you, you know, and we've got to like give ourselves grace at the same time. But those thoughts of those, like, I know that that's where that goes for me. And so, I don't know, those are things that are helpful for me, but I think, if you're hungry, eat, have foods around that are like conducive to your goals, you know, have stuff readily available all the time. You know, I never don't have cooked meat available. I never don't have fruit available. You know, I make myself set up for success there so that that way, if I want to eat something, I can go eat it. And like, I mean, really, like, you got to work pretty hard to do too much damage with those types of items.
I love that advice. And you also mentioned that you gave yourself grace, and you touched upon that you went through bulimia and through a poor relationship with alcohol as well. Were those two translated?
So yeah, addiction is interesting. Like we probably, most of us deal with it in some capacity. And so one of the things for me is, you know, I started drinking when I was a child, and then I realized at some point in my 20s that my relationship with alcohol wasn't like everybody else's. And then other substances got introduced and it really became a real problem. And that's why I'm sober today. So for anybody listening that struggles with substances and would like further resources for that, I would love for you to connect with me, and I would love to have further conversation with you. That being said, so once I figured out that I had to do something about that, I got help. I got involved in a recovery program and I got help.
And that's hard to do.
Of course, because to arrive at that point, the shame that you experience, the humility that you have to experience, the desperation, you name it, it's rough. But it gave me the opportunity, like I will, that shameful, tragic experience that got me there will always be one of the, I mean, it was the most pivotal time. I'm like, I'm so grateful for all of it, but getting there is nasty. Any pain when you're in it is just sucks. But it does have beauty in its wake. And that's certainly what happened there with me. So, but with that, when we talk further about food, if we're still on that, then So I get sober and then I've taken away my main coping mechanism. This coping mechanism, this way in which I numb out life, and this way in which I okay, my anxiety throughout the week builds or whatever, but I know that only in a couple of days I'm going to get to blackout. And so like, I'm going to get to blackout for a few days. I can quiet the noise. I can quiet my mind. So you remove from me this coping mechanism. Well, now I've got to have one. I got to have something. And so for me, what came up again was food. And I dealt with a lot of binge eating following that. And then actually a little bit of bulimia came back up after over a decade of being not present, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was shocking to me. Mm-hmm. But it's this grasping thing where for me, it was just like, well, I need a solution and I'm not okay, you know? Mm-hmm. And so trying to just like do your very best to sit with that.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I don't think that I have all of the answers for it.
It's a journey, I think.
It is. And so just, yeah, like the giving yourself grace of like knowing that all of these other people are also dealing with all sorts of stuff too. And there's so many different forms of addiction, you know, I mean, our phones. Hey, if I'm going to be fully transparent now, I really have to check myself all the time with my relationship with social media. Because today, if I want a hit of dopamine or whatever, or can I just go pull this thing up and go get it? Like, yeah, I have to like... that we're all navigating something. But I am very grateful for the headway that's been made and understanding, okay, my relationship with substances is not okay for the person that I want to be. Mm. And so I have to get rid of that, because if I'm going to carry on down that road, it's going to kill me. And then from there, my relationship with food wasn't what I wanted it to be. So I've got to continue to learn and grow. And so I've just sought a lot of information, got certifications, got therapy, you name it, sought help from others about how to mend this relationship. And it's an ongoing journey. And this is just right here where I am today, you know? Yeah. And it's not to say that some adversity couldn't come in life and I couldn't be using my tools and couldn't accidentally slip back into some sort of behavior. Today, I have really, really good tools. I have really good community support. I have people who are mentors to me that know that they're mentors to me. They get called, like they have to walk through life with me, mm-hmm. and they help me see outside of myself. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things in place.
Outside of yourself.
Yeah.
That's like a really transformative kind of vision that I just got in my mind, because the way that you see yourself and the way that other people see you could be very different.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting that the word blackout, right? I think it's interesting because so many people drink to blackout. They're like, let's blackout tonight, right? And if you really go deep into the word blackout, you are escaping reality. What are you escaping, right? What are you trying to escape? What in life do you want to escape? And why do you not want to be here and alive and in the moment? And I think that's kind of the in-depth part of the journey, is like where your relationship is with, let's say, alcohol, for example. What are you trying to escape? Did you, when you were going through this, what were you trying to escape?
Oh, I love that. I mean, it's so real. And to articulate it in that way, like that could cause some light bulbs to go off, you know, of like, so thank you.
Well, no, thank you for your vulnerability. It's so beautiful to share.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely the gift of sobriety. It's like now it's kind of, that's the deal, is like to talk about it. Because before I got there, like it was, you know, so for me, before getting sober, it was ultimately grief is what shoved me through the door. But prior to that, I mean, when we look back at my relationship with alcohol, it started out as fun, right? I'm a young girl and, I am awkward, and this giant smile that's on my face. Well, my face wasn't always this big, so I was awkward. Alcohol gets introduced in my life at a time where I'm starting to kind of blossom, right? And so then all of a sudden, I go from this like awkward, unattractive, whatever kid to now I'm fun. Like I intake this substance and I am fun and you like me and I am desperate for you to like me. And so I mean, it just took off from there. And so, but I also have the physical allergy and the mental obsession, which would define alcoholism, where I it's a disease. Mm. And so I can't seem to not need this thing. And so, I mean, I just tried to escape a number of different things in life throughout. And what started as this is just fun and I'm just getting attention and I love it. Oh, fun. Then turned into like, okay, now I'm making really, really big messes and this is actually becoming a real problem. Mm-hmm. And so the final thing that I was attempting to escape, and it was definitely a very pivotal time. My grandmother that I mentioned at the beginning, the Energizer Bunny, she passed. And so it was my first experience with grief. And I was like, yeah, so I'm not doing that. Like I've heard about it. Seems awful. Yeah. Not doing it. And I handled everything that following that week. I picked her up off of the floor, picked her makeup or, you know, I did all the stuff. I spent a week in my hometown dealing with stuff. And then after that week, I said, I'm not doing this. Like, I literally drove away with a massive to-go cup full of booze and was like, no, I'm not doing this. And then for 2 months, I my alcoholism was already alive and well, but it really took off at that point. And I was doing other substances, and I was fully aware, like, all I'm doing right now is just refusing to feel the things that I'm unwilling to feel.
Yourself.
Yeah. And just fully, like, cognizant numbing. Like, I know that I'm numbing and I'm choosing to numb because I'm unwilling to deal with that. Mm. And so then fortunately the repercussions were significant enough for me. And what that was public humiliation. And I'm grateful for it, but that seems to have been what it took for me to go, uh-oh, okay, I don't like that. You know, yet again, this desperation for you to like me, and now none of you approve of me, and oh, shoot, versus all of the other repercussions that would have happened through those years that did happen that I just kind of turned a blind eye to, you know, all the other situations that weren't good. They weren't sufficient motivation, and for some reason that was for me, so.
What are your coping mechanisms, and what would you say to people that are going through becoming sober or maybe even trying to drink less? Because that's a lot. Like, you're around friends, everyone's drinking, especially if you live in a city that – it's a lot of binge drinking, for example, Austin, right? Yeah. There's a lot of it. What are your coping mechanisms when you go out with friends and everyone's grabbing a drink?
Okay, I love it because binge drinking is a thing here, blah, blah. Okay, so since I've moved here, that could not be here for all I know. I don't even know that. That's, I mean, I so do because crazy. I did come here to visit frequently whenever I was in my alcoholism, and trust me, Sixth Street's where I hang out, and that's all I knew. I mean, I knew some other areas, but maybe rainy, whatever, anyway, right? So, like, my familiarity with this city was actually just that. And then whenever I moved here, I was sober. And so that's my experience since I've been here is just entirely sobriety. So thoughts there is, if your only way to be comfortable in that room is to intake substances, like, is that a room that you should be in? And that's a tough question for someone to ask themselves. And it's your journey and your choice. And I'm not telling you what to do at any point. You know, like, I don't even want that responsibility. But that was a check-in for me of, you know, I remember coming into a program of recovery that I still am involved in today. That's very, very important to my life. So I received support, right? I made a decision. Okay, I have got to get rid of these substances because I'm killing myself. I'm ruining my life. And I managed to get a hold of a community that could support me. And so I went and plugged in and I took their suggestions. And that was, I remember having this resistance to it too, because I'm like, I don't even know you guys. And you want me to, like, trust you? And it was like, look at all the trust whoever I would do whenever I was out doing whatever I would do, you know, the irony of that. But what that did do is make me uncomfortable in rooms I used to be comfortable in. And did I lose a lot of relationships through that? I say lose. Did that just those relationships change? Yes, absolutely. My life changed. Mm. But, like, I know who walks in the room today, and I even like her. And by the end of alcoholism, I did not know who she was, and I certainly didn't like her.
Wow. When was this? When did you become sober?
April 26, 2021 is my sobriety date.
So this is really recent. Yeah. This is really recent. I think it's funny how, like, you can repair yourself physically with your muscles, but then you have this other side where you have to repair your mind for hard things. Mm-hmm. They can translate, not exactly for what I'm saying, but, like, my mind just went in a rabbit hole with the word repair. It is crazy how the word repair can mean so many different things and be hard physically. It could be hard mentally. They can translate. Mm-hmm. But it really is your own journey, learning to repair yourself and recover. And that recovery, maybe it's through muscles after a workout, or recovery with binge eating, or recovery with addiction.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, the word repair, the word recovery. Yeah. It's this all-encompassing effect and transformation.
Yeah.
What was I trying to say with your post-recovery?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know where we were headed there, but that's okay. I enjoyed the journey.
That was my little ADD.
No, I think it had a – but no, I so agree. And with what you said, what comes to mind for me is that, you know, pain is a motivator. Yeah. And it's like one of the best ones, you know? So
pain
often –
pain is a motivator.
Absolutely. Ooh. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the decisions to change that you've made in your life. Like, whether it was a relationship or a relationship with food or a relationship with fitness or whatever, oftentimes the thing that motivated you to do something different was pain. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's been other things too, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's a heck of a motivator. Yeah. And so, and each individual's resistance to that pain or ability to take it on is their own, you know? And so it's just kind of, we're all just humans out here trying.
And I'm sure you feel that pain when you lift weights and get it out.
You feel, I mean, that pain, I like, I,
that's real pain.
I like that pain. I like that pain. But like, that's the thing is also then, that's a cool thing about getting involved in a gym or anything is you meet all of these people who are willing to put themselves in this uncomfortable situation. And if they're willing to do it there, they're probably willing to do it outside of there. And so it's a really great place to meet like-minded individuals.
Mm. But how do you become 1% better every single day?
Oh, how do you become 1% better every single day? I think that's where the appropriate answer for me is actually spirituality. And so with coming into recovery from alcoholism, I had to be introduced to spirituality, which I was not a fan of at that time. And now that is paramount for me. And so for me to just strive along these spiritually inspired principles seems to work really well. And so I realized that sounds really abstract and I should probably make that a bit less abstract. But like that's the truth for me. To become 1% better every day, I try to get outside of myself and try to show up for other people. Being a go-giver instead of a go-getter. You know, trying to the best of your ability to do that. If you do that, like that seems to, for me, that makes my life a lot better. But then, yeah, I will say, so right now I'm in the middle of 75 hard, right? I'm on day like 42. And I did 75 hard. I started it right around 60 days sober. So 2021, middle of the summer, I started 75 hard and I did it. And I remember it was so hard, which this is this challenge, guys. It's a number of different things you do every single day for 75 days straight. And I remember that like, and the whole principle, like it gives you discipline. And it's a really cool experience. And so I remember at that time going, okay, I'm just going to do this thing one day at a time, but it was overwhelming. It was very challenging. It was really hard. So here I am on day 42 and I'm not all the way through it right now, you know, so we'll see. But so far this whole time, it's really interesting to see we're 2 years later and I'm like, this isn't even a, like the couldn't be bothered. Like it's just, you just check boxes, which is just so cool to see the reality that your baseline can shift. Mm. Really, like to know that 2 years ago, overwhelming, so hard. What an accomplishment. Oh my gosh. Today, I'm grateful I'm doing it. I set out to do it because I wanted tasks to do that were discipline oriented. And I said, I just want some structure right now. And so that's why I chose to do it again. And sure enough, it's given me structure and I'm really enjoying it, but it's been quite cool to see how it's like that thing we talked about with like plan the next day, the night before thing, you know, getting 1% better every day. I mean, I think it's just to the best of your ability, holding the commitments that you make to yourself. And so making those commitments approachable whenever you decide that, you know, like with my clients all the time, it's like, hey, so yeah, maybe the version of us that we want to become is over here. Right. But like, here's the version of us that we are today. She's across the table. And so in order to get there, we have to take incremental steps and it cannot be just this overnight overhaul. The likelihood of adherence is low. So then if we instead just implement a simple thing that's approachable that you will do, and then we do that for a couple weeks and we'll tack on something else and we just start small enough, we'll compound this thing to you'll just be a habit stacked version of yourself that you don't even recognize today. And it'll be better than your plan anyway, you know?
Who are you doing it for?
The
75 hard.
Who am I doing it for? I'm doing it for me. I mean, I want to become better. Like I want to show up better. I think that there's a really cool, like the idea that you can contribute to life in some meaningful way is exciting. You know, with my coaching program, man, I'm over the moon pumped about the work that's being done there. I'm sure you can tell, but I'm pumped about it. And so in order for me to show up better for those people, I got to figure out how to show up better for me. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to say that it was all this like selfless act, but ultimately like, man, I want this. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. I wanted to hear it from you and your passion behind it. Cause I was like, I felt that Claire could talk to you all day and I'm excited. We're going to hang out this weekend so we could talk more.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, I want to hear like some, I don't even have questions prepared for you, but I want to hear something from you. I just want the audience to know a little bit more from you. So like,
oh my gosh, you're how do so you sweet.
Like, what are some things as far as like habits, things that you do that are useful to you today?
Oh my God. That's no one's ever asked me. That's so sweet.
I want to know. Selfish.
You're so funny.
Because you're beautiful and you're vibrant and you're all these wonderful things. Yes. And so, like, you're doing a lot of things right, too.
I think habits that are working for me is learning to actually become a little bit selfish sometimes, because I, similar to you, right, we give off this energy. We're very extroverted. And I teach group fitness classes. It's becoming fulfilled by giving people energy and by motivating them. But a lot of times my cup is also becoming emptier because I'm pushing people so much in class, and I have to learn to refill my cup to be able to do it again, which I love, right? It's my passion. Right. Love pushing people.
I've been coached by you and you absolutely crush it. You are phenomenal. So anyway, I've had the experience. I'm like, that's sweet. A class worth taking. So anyway, sweet. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I remember that was our first time meeting in person.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. That's hilarious. You're so sweet. But it is, I think, something that a habit that I'm working on is to learning when to say no. And I'm a very selfless person, but learning to sometimes say no and be selfish for myself to make myself a priority in order to show up for others, which is so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of like the number one habit, or I don't even know if it's a habit, but the number one thing that I'm working on.
Yeah. I love that. Flex your no. This does make me think of, so I've had the wonderful opportunity to become good friends with Cody Sanchez while living here, because she lives here. And I don't know if you know who she is, but she's just a business savant online. She comes from the finance world and she teaches people how to become financially literate on the internet. So cool. And in real life. But anyway, she owns Contrarian Thinking. If you haven't looked her up, you should. Anyway, an area of life that I know little about in comparison to the like a physical well-being, then she's got the financial well-being. I'm like, I need to learn from you. So she made a post just the other day that was on this topic and it was so good. And I know it to be true because I'm one of her good friends. And, you know, she just talked about like, leave the messages on read, leave them on read, do the things, you know, whatever. And so establishing those boundaries for yourself of like, you shouldn't just be infinitely available. That's unrealistic. And so, you know, I know as a fact that like, as her good friend, like I get left on read and I'm perfectly at peace with that. And if I actually need her, she's there, and you know, vice versa. But anyway, setting those boundaries sets people's expectations with you in a format that's like realistic.
Yeah,
you know? Flex your no.
I need to meet her.
Flex your no. Yeah, she's excellent.
Flex your no. Yeah. And I feel like we've talked a lot about boundaries. Flex your no. Create boundaries for yourself to set yourself up for success.
Yeah, if it's happening after 8 p.m., you won't see me. I'll tell you that.
If it's happening before like 8 a.m.,
you won't see you.
I'll be up. But I will be up, but I will show up for you later.
Deal.
I want to ask you my last and final question. At Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted, hence on the addiction, to health. What is your addiction and what are you addicted to?
Human optimization. Gosh, that's nerdy. No, really, I think it's fascinating. I'm like, how do we make ourselves the most optimal version of ourselves? Let's do that. When we show up better for ourselves, we show up better for everyone else. Everyone wins. Let's do it.
Yeah. So isn't that funny? I ask you what you're addicted to, and we just talked about you going and overcoming an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, we're all going to, I mean, addiction is still, like, at this point, like, addiction that I have to deal with is, like, addiction to.
There's so many addictions.
The
in
internet is addiction to something else. Like, it's out there in some variation all the time.
And optimizing your health is the healthiest addiction.
It's a good one.
Claire, how can people connect with you?
The easiest way is going to be, you can find me at my Instagram is going to be like the most prominent way, which is just my name at Claire Bayes, CLAIREBAYS. Straightforward. Also, I spend a good bit of time at Onnit Gym in ATX. And so that's, if you're ever in Austin, come work out at Onnit. It's a vibe. And then if you want to look into my coaching more, one, it's in the link in bio, but also you can go to clairebayescoach.com. And I just said it before, so I won't say it again. But that's where you can just see the offerings for the group and one-on-one coaching. And if you couldn't hear it clearly enough through the entire episode, I'm fired up about what we're doing there. And you should come hang out with us. And it's a great app. It's literally an app and it's awesome.
Go lift heavy with her.
Yeah. And also get your entire meal plans. And it's a cool, yeah, we have community support. We do weekly coaching calls. It's really, really cool.
Cool. Yeah. Well, Claire, thank you so much. Energies, everything aligned.
Right.
And I just feel like this whole room is energy's on fire right now.
We're
going to go run through walls. Claire, thank you so much. You are the best.
Thank you. And I love to remind everyone, thank you. If you're still here listening, we appreciate you. And also, so I know that I speak for both of us when I say this, that like you are beyond capable. I always love to remind people that you are so beyond capable. And at any point that you decide to do something differently, you get the opportunity to do that at any given moment. And no one can tell you any differently. Just saying.
Now I will drop the mic.
Thank you guys so much for joining me today. Connect with Claire at Claire Bays and me at Fit Food Junkies. Let us know your biggest takeaway. Maybe it's about addiction or about energy, about lifting. You name it, we would love to hear from you. If you are enjoying being part of our Fit Food Junkies community, please leave a rating and review. Follow us over at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It means the absolute world to our team. Thank you so much for joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.